it's good to see you today. I felt flattered by that picture, but Brother Ron Baldwin said, "That is a great picture," and he paused and he said, "Of Carolyn." So so he and I still remain friends, but anyway, I appreciate the efforts of the pastor and all to have this special day, and I'm thankful for that and always appreciate it and don't take it for granted at all. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Now, let's get into our study today. I promise you I would try to end early, and so we want to get right into it. But if you don't have a book and you didn't get one last week, would you raise your hand and right back here, a couple of them. Anyone else anywhere? All right. We appreciate a lot of you coming up here in the center sections. I didn't say center, I said center. So, well, both would be right, wouldn't it, for all of us? But anyway, I'm glad you did that. And some have providential reasons, and we understand that they are staying in the back. And so don't let that bother anybody, and don't let that bother you if you're back there. But this does help a little bit to have you a little closer, and I think it makes for a little bit better atmosphere for us. We're talking about, in these weeks, transforming truths. Truths that will change us. Truths that we need to be reminded of to keep the sanctification process going in our lives. We have three areas of sanctification. The word sanctification means being set apart to the Lord. Go ahead and find your reference, if you would, Romans 12, 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But sanctification has to do with being set apart. And we have, when we get saved, we have positional sanctification. When you get saved, you're placed into the body of Christ, positional. And then as we live in this life, we have progressive sanctification, progressiveness. And then when we get to heaven, we'll have perfect sanctification, ultimate sanctification, and we won't sin anymore. We'll be what we all desire to be. We'll be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we want to talk about the process of transformation, or you might use the word sanctification there. But we go back to Romans chapter 12. You remember we studied last week, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a," what kind of sacrifice? "Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," it's our reasonable service. But now we want to look at verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world." Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed, that's sanctification, growth, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." All right? Now, a lot of times we don't like changes in our life. We resist some of that. And so we have to admit, though, that change is going to come in our lives. It's part of the process of living. Some like change, some don't like change. We get in our comfort zone. I'm not talking about Sunday school class here. I'm just talking about all things in all areas of our life. We like it or we don't like it, and it just happens. Sometimes most of us probably here not living in the same house we moved in when we first got married, right? You probably had some changes and change houses, and that's part of the process. And I can tell you one thing, this would be relevant to our class, and that is our bodies are changing. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's a fact that getting old is not for sissies, and you've heard that many times. But our bodies are changing. I had a little fellow look at that picture out there. It used to be out there in the lobby there, and he looked at that, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Is that you out there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, you really have changed. It doesn't, he said, it doesn't look like you. And I thought, yeah, you're right. But we do have change, and change comes. We have change in government, different change. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good, but it's part of life that we're going to have change. Now, sanctification is changing. We get saved, we're born into the family of God, and hopefully we begin a spiritual metamorphosis, a spiritual change, and we ultimately might become spiritual butterflies, all right? But we go through these changes in our life. We're saved, we change, we transform. Think about little babies. You start them out, you don't start them out on a steak. I love steak. I don't know about you. I probably eat too much red meat, according to the doctor, but I really don't care. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But at any rate, I like that a whole lot better than just a glass of milk. But they tell me when I was a little baby that I like milk, and that satisfied me. But we start out on the milk of the Word, and that's all right. And I think it's good for us to be reminded that new converts are not where we are and that they need the milk of the Word. And then later, they get into the meat of the Word and begin to mature. But we should always be maturing. And here's what was said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. These are all just introductory remarks. In those verses, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." It's like you got to go back to elementary school. "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And he's saying we shouldn't go back to the elementary things. We should be growing. We should know the Bible better, and it should affect us. Now, why is that important to God, that we grow and that we have what we'd call progressive sanctification? Why is that important to God? Well, because God wants us to get closer to Him. And God wants us to have fellowship with Him. And that's a key word that I've always emphasized in my ministry. When you get saved and you get out of God's will, you don't lose your salvation, but you do lose the fellowship, the getting along good with the Father, the being in His will and knowing you're in His will. And so fellowship is affected. And so He wants us to have a deeper relationship. Now, the end result of that is we are happier Christians. We have joy in our lives. And the Bible says a whole lot about us having joy. So Roman numeral 1, transformation is a process. It is a process. It takes time to remodel your house or a room in your house. We remodeled our kitchen a few years ago and a couple of rooms, and I was so glad when it was over. And some of you have been through that. One of our families was telling me the other day, they said that we're remodeling our whole house and said we're living with somebody else for a couple of weeks. But don't you know they were glad to get back in their house, in their home. But it takes time to do that. And so the transformation that he's talking about here is a lifelong thing. And it's unlike physical growth. We grow and grow and grow, and then we get to a certain point, and then we grow a little more, and then, but basically the height and all, it may be the tummy, but we come to a place where this is sort of our weight. This is our height. This is, and we quit, as we would say, growing. In fact, we start sort of going down a little bit. I'm not near as tall as I used to be. I used to be 6'1", tall, dark, and handsome. But I've long time away got away from that. But we change. Those things happen to us. But the spiritual things are a lifelong process of growth. We never put the final line on the garage door or the area there like we do with our children and grandchildren. We just keep on growing. We're supposed to. And so let me give you some tips very quickly. It's in your outline A for avoiding discouragement in growth. That can happen. We don't want that to happen. So don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. New converts struggle many times with habits that they've had, sins that they've had, and sometimes they get a little discouraged with it. I've seen that with some of the RU people, and they, you know, they're dealing with these issues they've had in life. They're new converts, and they get a little bit discouraged. And I just say to the new converts, most of you have been saved a long time, but to new converts, they should not be always comparing themselves to those of us who've been saved for many, many years. Now, we can be good examples to them, and they can watch our exemplary life, but to get discouraged and say, I give up and quit, I'll never be like him, I'll never be like her, is wrong, because you can be. In fact, you may surpass some of us. That does happen. But I'm just saying that it's a process of time, and we should not compare ourselves with other Christians. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But by measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. So God gives us some information about that. And all of us have some struggles in the growth process, but God's going to help us. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this one thing, of this very thing, that he which hath begun, get that now, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will bring it to pass until the day of Jesus Christ. If he started with us and we'll allow it, he's going to bring us to more maturity, growth, more maturity, growth. I've seen people who've been in church for 40 years that are very immature. They're immature Christians. Why is that? Because they're just not growing. But sometimes they get discouraged with it and sort of give up. We shouldn't do that. B in your outline, don't ever be satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied. Be happy, rejoice, yeah, but don't ever be satisfied with your spiritual growth. Especially those of us, now hear this in this class, especially those of us who've been saved a long time, don't ever get satisfied with where you are spiritually. We are always challenged by God and the Word of God to reach new horizons for the glory of God. And if we get a little cocky and a little settled, I want to tell you, we become susceptible to Satan's way of deceiving us. It can happen to those of us who have been saved a long time. And if we have the wrong mental attitude, in other words, if we sort of say, well, I know I'm here and I've got it all figured out and I've grown in the Lord and I've been saved all these years, I'm not worried about any of that, that's a dangerous position. You say, I've got it all figured out. I know what to do. I know when to do it. I know what not to do. I know what to say. I know what to say. I've got it all down. Well, it's good to grow in the Lord, but Philippians 3:12 through 14, if the Apostle Paul had room to grow, listen, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, mature, fully mature, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I hadn't arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. There it is, progressive. Keep reaching, keep going. He said, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We never arrive to where we don't have room for more growth. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And then C, don't ever be overwhelmed. Don't ever be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Transformation, as I said, is not always easy, And here's what happens to us sometimes. Trials and troubles and problems come into our lives, and we are tempted sometimes to go backwards and say, what's the use? I've tried to live for God. I'm trying to do what's right, and then look what happens to me. I've had people say that. Why did God do this to me? I don't deserve this. I've had them say that to me. The truth of the matter is, the only thing you deserve and I deserve is hell. That's all we really deserve. But we should not get overwhelmed by the trials of life that would make us go backward. Trials come not to hurt us, but to strengthen us, to strengthen us. Some of the best lumber is taken from mountaintops where the worst weather is, and it's some of the most solid lumber that there is. But we can be transformed. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9, first part, he saith unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So keep that in mind when you have difficulties and trials and things you don't understand, that God is not trying to hurt you. He's trying to cause you to grow and to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so transformation is a process. Secondly, transformation is personal. Personal. It's your decision. A, it is your decision. It's personal. Pilots, the men who get their flying license, when they get their flying license, they have what they call ground school. They go to the books first, and they are taught things about aerodynamics and what to do in emergency and a number of other things. They go to ground school. They get the book knowledge there, and then they go to flight school, and they get in that plane, and then they say, it's yours, and you've got to fly this baby. You take all that information, you get in there, and you demonstrate that you can do that, and then you get your license. Well, what we have in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans is the book knowledge, the what we would call the ground school. And we have all of that. We know that we're saved. We know that we are free from the law. Oh, happy condition, so on and so forth. We know all of that because the first 11 chapters tell us that. That is the ground school. Chapter 12 begins to talk about putting that into practice. How do you take all of this doctrinal truth and put it into practice? And so look at Romans 12:1, and you see that it's a personal thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, it's your decision. It's personal. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Nobody in this church can do it for you. It's not the church that does it. It's you personally. It's not your mentor. It's not your Sunday school teacher. It's not your pastor. They can help in some measure, but they cannot make the decision for you. So you say, but how do I actually let the Lord transform my life? How do I actually let that happen? Well, go back to verse 1 again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's where it starts, where you make a decision to give God everything, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And may I remind you today again, be sure that you have done this. Be sure that there's been a time where you've said, God, here I am, lock, stock, barrel, everything in the warehouse, all of it, I'm yours. And then from there, you live that out. You live that out as you do that. And so that means we surrender any aspect of our lives, any sin that might be in our lives, any distractions that might pull us away from God, and we allow God to conform us to the image of his Son, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 8:29. When he talks about everything working together for good. And then he says the purpose, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, not to heaven or hell. He didn't do that. But he also did predestinate to do what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he wants to make you more like Jesus. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, that again should not waver with our circumstances. That should not waver with our circumstances. Trials can do one of two things. They can push you away from God, or they can push you close to the bosom of God. Which one you think's better? The first one or the latter? The second, right? And I've had people get mad at God because something didn't go their way and quit church. Just quit church. They say, it didn't go my way. I tithe, I gave, I did this, I wanted to buy that property, and I did, and everything fell through. And so all these circumstances have come into our life, and they do come into our life. And again, those circumstances God intends to use for us to draw us closer to God. And we ought to give our trials always to the Lord, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you believe he really loves you? He really loves you. He does love you. So I don't know how he could love me. I'm so unlovely sometimes. But he loves us like you love your grandchildren, like you love your children. They're not always perfect, are they? But you love them. No matter what, you still love them. And the Lord is molding us. You take a beautiful vase, maybe a vase that you've seen, you purchased. We were in Waco. A while back, I was preaching down close to Fort Hood, and we came back, and the pastor and his wife and another couple, we went to this Amish place in Waco. Some of you have been there. Don't ask me the name of it. Ask my wife. She knows. But we went into one of the shops. It was pottery, and we were watching this young lady as she took her hands and just carefully formed that vase that she was forming. She knew what she was after. And I watched, and it just began to look more beautiful. But then they put it to heat. And sometimes God does that. He's very sweet and kind and gracious the way he does it. And then the heat may be put there, but God is our potter. And aren't you glad he said, I'll never put on you more than you can take. I'll never put on you more than what I can pour the grace on to get you through it. And that's exactly what he does, and we know that. Jeremiah 18:1-6, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And he went down to the potter's house and watched him work and all that. And then verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Well, that's true of Israel. That's true of us too. We're in the potter's hand today. We don't understand everything, but we know that all things, good things, bad things, little things, big things, things we understand, things we don't understand, tragic things, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So we have transformation, which is a process, and transformation, which is personal, and then transformation is practical. Here are some specific steps to help. A is get the old out. Get the old out. What do you mean? Confess your sins to God. You say, don't you know you're talking to perfect people? We're mature Christians. We've been saved a long time. Yes, I do. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm talking to myself. See, when it goes that way, it comes back this way, just like that. The thumb here and the finger there. But we all have things in our life. Right now, I guarantee you, that we are working on or should be working on habits, patterns, self-pity, jealousy, envy, depression. You say, well, I don't drink and cuss and I don't take dope. Well, praise the Lord, I'm glad. But what about these other things? That's not all there is to it. That's not all there is to it. And so Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so we have to judge sin, get it out of our life, and that helps the sanctification process. And if we don't, what happens? the old red stop sign comes up. If we don't do that, then we stop. We quit growing. And I've seen a lot of Christians do that. So get the old out, put the new in. Put the new in. And we have to filter and get all that other stuff out. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we have to filter that other junk out. I've got a filter on my deal on our refrigerator, and I have to replace it every so often. Sears sends it to me in the mail, and I get in there and replace it, and it's supposed to keep the water pure. And so we have to filter out some of that junk and put this good stuff in there and test our thoughts. Are our thoughts true? Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just, pure, lovely, and all of those different virtues that he talks about there? And so that's why we need to read this book, so we can get the right thoughts. And then the right thoughts are the filter that gets rid of this junk in our lives. And we need to read the Bible and then sometimes memorize some scriptures. If there's some scriptures, some things that really bother you, then memorize some scriptures and quote those at the devil. Read godly books. Listen to godly music. Don't listen to that junk that tears you down and makes you feel blue and, you know, boot scooting and drunk and all that kind of stuff. And my baby just walked out and left me. Oh, I'm so sad. Boy, that's edifying. But get you some good old good gospel music that's based on the Word of God. And that helps. That helps. And the Bible talks about the Psalms are filled with that idea of singing songs to the glory of God. And then biblical preaching will also help. That's why people ought to be in church. And then see, guard what goes in. Guard what goes in. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart, your emotions, your mind, your inner self with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart that way. Satan never, never quits on us. Never quits wanting you to get your mind off track. That's why we need to always be on the defensive. Let's say in your house you had an alarm system put in. And in that alarm system, it only covers the front door. But you've got two or three other doors. And so that's the whole idea about Scripture and dealing with the devil. He knows who your alarm system is, and he knows how to get in these other doors. It would be sort of a dumb thing to do that and then have all these other doors where the thief can come in, and believe me, he'll find them. And that's the way Satan works in our life. And so every part of our mind, and you know the door that you need to keep closed and you need to have a sensor on it, there's anxiety. We worry about dying. We worry about physical problems. There's covetousness, wishing you had what they had. There's jealousy of somebody that gets more attention maybe, or impure thoughts that run through our minds. We need to set up guards on all of this to protect our mind and continue the journey of sanctification. And all of that is part of it. So what we need to do is choose to be conformed, not to the world, but to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's called sanctification. And that's what he says. Be not conformed to this world system. Don't be conformed to this world. Be you transformed. How? By the renewing your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Bless it to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.